Good evening, everyone. How are you all? Half time? Anybody's good as half time? Yes, half time, no half time. In your business, there's not much half time, is there? Are you not working this week? Oh, good. Okay. No half time in your business either. Yes, that's right, yeah. Rabbi Feingold, a bit of half time. Okay, you're going to be Moitzias, okay? It's thin elbows. You're going to be Moitzias. Okay, Rabbi Isai, we started yesterday the topic of the chiyuv, hishtadlus of joining a minyan. We spoke yesterday about the lashon, the words of the Shulchan Aruch, hishtadel adam nispal beveis haknesses. We explained. I'd like to go into further details today. Maybe let's just start again the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Just to get that absolutely clear, before we delve into two Mishnah Berurahs, which is Hivkot and Chav Ches and Chav Tes, which I'd like to cover today. So Shulchan Aruch says, Yishtadel Adam, a person should be very careful, Yishtadel Leispalel to daven Beis HaKnesses in a shul, im HaTzibur, with a minion. Ve'imu Onos, if he's an Oynes in a situation that he cannot join a minion, She'en Yochel Ovo is a Beis HaKnesses, he cannot go to a Beis HaKnesses. So what's the second best? If you cannot dine with a minyan in the shul, the second best is yechaven leispalel. You should try, you should attempt to daven b'sha'a at the time sha'atzibo mispalelim. You should, if you cannot make it to the 7:45 minyan, so at least daven at 7:45. You should daven at the time that the minyan is taking place. Vehu hadin, and similarly bnei adam adorim biyishuvin, people who live in villages ve'ein lo minyan, and there's no minyan there. Mikol mokim nevertheless yispalu shachris ve'arvis, they should daven shachris and arvis bizman, at the time shatzibu mispalelin, that minyan is taking place. So there's obviously a lot of points to discuss over here, but before we go to the second point, which is the concept of davening with the time of a minyan, before we entering that topic, let us first shed additional clarity in the topic of davening with a minyan. And we'll be discussing with Hashem shortly the topic of when is the right, if a person has got an opportunity, the very famous question, if a person is imprisoned, imagine that person who is sent to jail, and he's got the permission and the right of leaving the prison for one occasion. They allow him to leave the prison for one occasion. You can go to let him go off for one time. When should he go? What? Should he go for Purim to join the feast? That's right, the Simon Mishnah, absolutely, yeah. Maybe Yom Kippur? How about Sukkot? How about Pesach? What about Tisha B'Av? When is that date that he should pick to go? Yom Kippur? Kodesh, the most heilige day of the year. Yom Kippur, okay? The next day. The next opportunity arising. Zrizin Makdimin. We'll see what Mishnah Berurah says in this ancient shaila. Mishnah Berurah is going to discuss that. Okay. That's one topic we're going to be seeing in the end of Sifkot and Chav Ches. An additional fascinating Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Chav Tes, which I believe brings, it is the only story that is brought down in the whole Mishnah Berurah. The only story that I don't think is mamash the only story, because we saw a short story once mentioned in Hilchos Kriyas Shema. So I don't think it's mamash the only story in the Mishnah Berurah, but it's certainly one of the very few stories that has ever been printed in the Mishnah Berurah, and it's probably one of the only, it's definitely the longest one in the Mishnah Berurah. So that's what we're going to be seeing today. Okay, so let us see the Mishnah Berurah over here in Sefkot and Chav Ches. Says the Mishnah Berurah, why is Tefillah B'Tzibur so important? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mipnei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mois B'Tefillah HaTzibur. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never pushes away tefillah of which is done with the minyan. Va'afilo yabayim choytim, even if there was yidden amongst the minyan who were sinners, lo yimanim elei spalimoyim, don't say, ach, what's the point of davening in this shul? They're all a bunch of Rishoyim anyway. They didn't vote for me. They're all a bunch. I don't want to daven with them. I don't want to. Or even if you've got a very valid point, if they're mechalalei Shabbos, or who knows what. And you say, I don't. What's the point of davening with such a minion? Mechalalei Shabbos may not be such a good example because who knows if they, or if they're mechalalei Shabbos, whatever. But if you say they're a Rishoyim, I don't want to have done with him. So Mishnevuah says over here, even if you're right, that they are not on such a spiritual level as you are, nevertheless, you should daven with a minion. You have to join them. Now, what's very interesting is that the poskim actually say that this Mishnah Berurah is not just a an additional chizuk point here. Rather, what it is actually a very halachic point. Now we know it's a very halachic element in this point the Mishnah Berurah says, and that's the following: that if we ever, if you're very honest with ourselves, the kavana that we have got in our Shemona Esses is not the highest kavanas that one can think of having. It's not all that absolutely amazing for some of us. Therefore, says that, this is brought down in the poskim. He says that our kavanah is not so great. Just to make it through the Shemona Esser by Pirush HaMilas, it's a huge, huge challenge. Says the poskim, therefore, say that it's critical for us, from a halachic perspective, therefore, to daven with a minyan, because there's no chance the outfillers are going to be hurt. When I can't say no chance, but it's very hard to compare the guarantee that Chazal give us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us, that Eloi Nimah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to tefillahs which are said with a minyan. That is something, notwithstanding one's kavana, however your shvach kavana is, HaChazal tell us, if you're done with a minyan, your chances are that your tefillahs are heard. But if you don't done with a minyan, who knows how great how this couple of tefillahs are going to be, because our kavanah is not so great. So it gives an additional halachic element to why it's important to have the minyan. Says the Mishnah Berurah, im yesh lo shtei batei knesiyos, if there's two shuls, ve'echad yesh lo b'rov om, one has got a very large minyan, there's b'rov om, there's a big minyan, mitzvah l'zbal b'yosa. The Mishnah Berurah says over here, if you've got two, you want to choose your where you want to daven. You can either daven with a minyan that is just about 10, 11, 12 people, or you can daven with this huge minyan where there's 150 people davening. That you should, lechatchili, should aim to daven with a big minyan, because Rav Amad is Melech. Lechatchili should aim to the larger minyan. Kosva Achonim, however, the Achonim write, the image of the Knesset Shul Rav Am, Rav Bilbul, if the shul that has a big amount of people, there's a bit of Bilbul, there's a bit of Hefkeres, and people are plapping, people are talking, and you therefore cannot hear not the davening, not the lining. It's better to daven your own house as long as there's a minyan. Don't go to the big shul if you can't hear what the chazan says. If you've got a choice of either in a shul, but you're on your own, or in your house, you've got a minion, then yes, certainly, you should have with a minion. It's always better to go with a minion, even if it's your own house. Now, says the Mishnah Berurah the following: the main part of davening, with a minion, is Shmoyne Esre. Tehainu, i.e., Sheispalu Asor Anoshim, that 10 men should daven, Shem Gdoilim, Biachad, were adults who should daven together. Veloik Moshe Choshvin Amoin, and unlike what some people think, a common mistake, Sheikha Leispalil, that the main thing is, Leispal Basor Urak, Lishmoya, Kaddish, Ktushavochum. This is that the people make a mistake. They think that when you're davening with a minyan, what's the main part of davening with a minyan? Is that you hear Kaddish, you hear Kedusha, you answer back Baruch Hu. He said, that's not considered davening with a minyan. That's not the main part of davening with a minyan. The main part of davening with a minyan is davening Shmona Esser with a minyan. V'lochein enu makpidim rak shu asor b'veis ha-knesset v'zeh tos. It's an obligation on a person. So, Rabbi Sa, I think it's a very important point. Some people there's a common misconception that when it, if you want to daven with a minyan, what's the main part of davening with a minyan? You think you just schlep out, you show up, you hear the Baruch Hu, or you catch up the Baruch Hu, you hear Kaddish, you hear Kedusha, you think you've done the job. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no, you have not done the job. Tefillah Betzibah. The essential and the most important, the critical part of Tefillah Betzibah is davening Shmoneh Esrei with the minyan. Yeah. Okay. Good. So lechatchila, one should start Shmoneh Esrei with an additional 9 people who are starting Shmoneh Esrei at that point. That is the perfection. If you haven't got 10 people as a minion starting Shmoneh Esrei, then it's not as good. It's not as good. And also, what's also not as good, and we will be talking in greater detail about this, what's the halacha, Rabbi, if they've started Shmoneh Esrei already and you're a minute late? Is that good or it's not so good? How much of a deal is that? If they've started and you're catching up a minute later, you're a minute late. So according to this, machloek is achroini, but according to many machroinim, it's actually you're losing the main part of Shmoneh of Tefillah Betzibah. You're losing the main aspect of Tefillah Betzibah if you're not mamash starting with them. Some achroinim are slightly more makil, but many achroinim say that if you're not actually literally starting with a tzibur, you're losing a main part of Shmoneh Esrei.
When the Mishnah was saying this point here, it could be that that case where you're not having 10 starting davening together, you lose this ikkar.
Yeah.
This bit of tzibur is.
Yeah.
Some opinions.
Yeah. Yes.
So is it better to maybe for shackles to skip a bit to get so you can?
The answer is yes.
Yeah,
you should aim to start with that tzibur. Even if you skip a bit of Sukkot Zimra, according to many Achronim, that's what you should do. According to many Achronim, yes.
Is there a difference between being one of nine, doubling it as one of nine, and doubling by yourself in shul? You think it's better to be one of nine than just one by yourself?
We haven't said that. We didn't say that. But you're probably, there is an inyan, yes. We didn't say that here, but you are right. Is it better? Is it better to have a few people davening together rather than one individual? Is that what you're saying? The answer is yes. It's a bit better. You haven't got a If you have got 9 people davening together, it's still an inyan. I saw that in the Achronim. It's still an inyan of 9 people davening together, even though you haven't got a minyan. Okay, Rabbi Sai, if we skip a few lines in the Mishnah Berurah, he now brings that challah that I mentioned earlier, and he says the following. The Radbaz says the following. Tofus, a person who is in prison. Shiasa, that the governor, Nosan Loi Rishos, gave him permission. Yoim Echot, 1 day. Leispalel, to daven im hatzibo. Beminyan, to daven with a minyan. Eize Yoim Sheirze. He can choose whichever day he wants to go. 1 day he's let off, he can go off. Yispalel oiso yoim techef. He should go immediately. He should go. Velo yachmetz ha-mitzvah. He should not delay the mitzvah. Lehamtin, to wait al yoim kippur oi purim. He should not wait for yom kippur. He should not wait for purim. He should go for it immediately. That very day. Ve'ayim b'cha'otum klal tzamechess. There's a great, huge amount of discussion amongst the authorities about this psak, which is a machloek, it's been Chamtzin, Radbaz, and many other opinions as well. But most, I think it's true to say that most G'dole Achonim have written or said something about this. But the Mishneh Berurah paskens, if you have got a day off, you should take that day, the next following day. Next coming day. What would be the reason for that, Rabbi Isai? What would be the reason for that? Habgidin, you mentioned that as a matter of course. Why is it that he should take the next opportunity? Why? Surely a random Tuesday Shachis He's not as great as Yom Kippur, Purim, Shavuos.
Might get freed before.
Okay, that I didn't see in the Poskim. I saw the opposite in the Poskim. As the Poskim said, that it could be that this governor changes his mind. Is that who knows? That's one very strong argument which is mentioned. Very good. Having mentioned your reason, the reason which seems to be the essential point in the Mishnah Berurah is very much what you are saying. Shalo yachmitz ha-mitzvah. Don't make the mitzvah go sour. Don't delay. Yachmitz. Chemutz. Don't delay the mitzvah. Never delay a mitzvah. And this goes into the discussion. That's what it appears in the Mishnah Berurah. What is better? Should you rather do a mitzvah now, which is not such a great mitzvah, or should you rather wait until the later opportunity and do the mitzvah, which is a greater mitzvah? So although you may argue that it's not exactly the same, and it's a great discussion in the postgame, but the Mishnah Berurah's approach seems to be that lo yach mitzvah mitzvah, you should always take the mitzvah, grab the mitzvah at its first opportunity. Take that Tuesday shachis. Don't wait for Shabbos even. Don't wait for Yom Tov. Grab the first opportunity of a mitzvah and don't worry about it, the fact that you could do it later. Lo yach mitzvah mitzvah. Often we have that, I don't know if you ever think about it, sometimes, if I'm going to do it in half an hour, I'll do it much better. I'll do the mitzvah much better. Yeah, and I'm a bit tired now. If I do it in half an hour, it's going to be much better. He says, not what the Mishnah Berurah says. Don't delay mitzvah. Just go for it straight away. There's an interesting Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Isai. Did you ever wonder about this point? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in the Sefer, that you should do not... Rashi says in it's going to come back. Sorry, what's the lashon Rashi? That Rashi says in Boi, I think it's in Boi, that you shouldn't be Machmed. Al Tikri. Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much. Al Tikri Matzos Elamit. Al Tikri Matzos Elamitzvos. That you shouldn't be Machmed the mitzvah. Do you remember Rashi? Do you know where it's in Pashas Boi? Maybe it will help. Yeah. Yeah, you know I'm referring to Reb Gideon, yeah? Yeah. That you shouldn't be mach. You shouldn't be mach mitzvahs. Yeah, where is it? Over here somewhere. That's right. Right. That's right. Where is it exactly? Over here? Al-Tachm. Right, here it is. In Pasuk Yud Zayin. Okay. Ushmatem es ha-matzois. You should guard the matzois. Right? That's over here in Pashas Boi. Rashi says, Ushmatem es, you should guard the matzois. Shelo yavoy lidei chemutz. They shouldn't reach the stage of being chometz. They should become chometz. Mikal omu from Yecha Chomim learned that altiki matzois elo mitzvois kederech she'en machmitzin is a matzois kach en machmitzin is a mitzvois. So just like you mustn't delay the matzos, they're going to become chametz. So also you shouldn't be delaying mitzvos. Elo imbol yotcha, if mitzvos come into your hand, aseh oisom yot, do them immediately. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asked the Posh the Kasha. I think I heard it from Rabbi Levi. Could be that it's written in Emes Liakov. He says, you can't compare. What happens with a matzah? What happens if a matzah after the 18 minutes? They become chometz. They become, not only that it's not a matzah anymore, but now it becomes pure, undiluted chometz. What happens with a mitzvah if you delayed a little bit? So fine, so you haven't done the mitzvah immediately, but still, you've still done the mitzvah. If you haven't If you haven't done, if you didn't shake the lulav the first minute, by that's a chama. So okay, so it doesn't matter. Do it a bit later. It might not be ideal, but it doesn't become sour because of that. It doesn't become the opposite of a mitzvah. How can you compare matzos to a mitzvah? It's not comparable. Does the question make sense? So your answer is that from here we see that actually no. It is the same. It loses. It gets a bitter taste. Mitzvahs which are pushed off get a bitter taste. That's what Mark Feinman said. Because really, you're pushing it off. And then yes, you're still fulfilling a mitzvah, but there's an integral bitter taste to the mitzvah now, from now on. It gets a bitter taste because you pushed off the mitzvah. So, kach shamati, that's what I heard. Okay, so, right. Now, the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Chof Tes brings about a person who's onus. And he says, that the Mishnah Berurah says the following. The person is weak even if he's not ill. What happens, says the Mishnah Berurah, if a person, by attempting to daven with the minyan, is going to lose a lot of money? He wants to daven with the minyan, but it's going to cost him a fortune. Can you think of a case? It's positively going to cost him money. Pardon? Very good. If he's got a flight booked, if he's going to done with a minion, he's going to miss the flight. It's going to cost him a fortune to buy a new ticket. Business meeting. Oh, I want to speak of a business meeting in a minute. Let's think about it. Let's push it off for 1 minute. Let's be machmitzit for 1 minute. Just one minute. What about, no, so if you are, so it says the Mishnah, you have to lose money done with a minion. What if the only way you're going to get to the, it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's going to cost you a lot of money. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Yochel Eispal Beveso B'Yechidi. You don't have to lose money to daven with a minyan. You don't have to lose money to daven with a minyan. But what about a business meeting? Your question. What happens if it's a business meeting? It's the same question that if you daven with a minyan, you're going to miss the business meeting. Is that the same question? You miss a client. You can push off the client, then it's going to be okay.
What's the one-off?
Okay. One-off, you should. Okay, what do you...
I have said,
very good. Says the Mishnah Berurah, exactly your point. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Avon Mishum Ben Yaz Revach, but the loss of a gain, lo yimonem el ispal nimat zibur. So then you shouldn't lose a minion, because you could have potentially gained money. The loss of an opportunity, that doesn't push off the minion. So again, you don't have to lose money to done with a minion. If you put money to done with a minion, that you don't have to. But if there's an opportunity of earning money, that you still have to done with a minion. So if you've got a client meeting, you've got a client waiting outside, what was your business meeting? You know, have a business meeting over here, and I could potentially make money out of this meeting. But you haven't done with a minion. Now you have to done with a minion. You're not losing money, you're just not earning money. So if in your case, for instance, there's a certain customer, client, you could earn money from him. But then no, the answer is you can't, you have to start with a minion. Because you're just missing out on an opportunity of earning money. Nah, you still have to start with a minion. Does that make sense? The difference between hefset mammon, losing positively money, and not earning, that's what we're learning over here. Now the Mishnah Berurah finishes off with the following. The famous incident of Reb Zalman Mirels, Av Beis Din, the Kilas Kodesh Hamburg. He was the Rav of Hamburg. Shepam achas, that one day, holach lebeis haknesses, he went to shul. Me'utav betales vetfilin. He was wearing a talis and tfilin. Kedakoi, as every day. And he was approached by one person, that he wants to sell him precious stones. And he approached this Reb Zalman Mirels, who obviously was a merchant as well as an Av Beis Din. He said, listen here, I am offering you those precious stones for mitzia price. But if you want them, buy them now. Come to my house, I'm going to sell them to you for a good price now. And Reb Zalman Mirels was on his way to shul, wearing a talis and tefillin. And he says, I'm not going to do any business dealings now. I'm going to shul. If you want to sell it to me, wait until after davening. And because of that, he sold the jewels to somebody. The guy sold it to somebody else. And because of that, the other person made a fortune out of this. It was really an amazing business opportunity. So again, you had the guy of it. I think it was a guy. He approached Hibzalman Mills on the way to shul. He says, here, look at those stones. I'm selling them to you for a Metzia price. Hibzalman Mills says, I'm not interested. I'm going to shul. I'm happy to make business with you, but that's going to be after davening. In the meantime, this person, he didn't wait. And he approached somebody else, and the other person went for the business. And he made an absolute fortune out of this business deal. He bought those stones, and he sold it for a fortune. Hibzalman Mills, when he heard about this, how would you have reacted? Yeah, I would have reacted the same way. You know, oh, wow, that was Mesiris Nefesh. Hibzalman Meres, I had a different reaction. He said, V'somach hagon simcha g'doylo. Hibzalman Meres was extremely excited. Shehishlich meneged momen rav over tefillah tzibur. And he was prepared to give up a fortune for tefillah b'tzibur. He gave up, he was so excited. Now I've shown that this was really meaningful to me. All my life I wasn't able to show that it was meaningful. But now I really, this is what tefillah b'tzibur is worth, all that fortune. People have to get punished. These fees should be put in place that for people who don't have the minyan. Imagine that. You get a penalty charge for not attending minyan. That's the Mishnah Berurah recommends. For the rich people, they get a bigger fee. But if somebody's learning Torah, he still needs to have the minyan. I want to add something which I heard from Rabbi Leib Whitler once, and I heard it afterwards again. That the end of this story is Hibzalman Meres. Now Hibzalman Meres, he was mevata on this fortune. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. V'samach simcha gedoyla. Yeah, that was samach simcha gedoyla. Now the story apparently continues. Mishnah Berurah doesn't share it with us. But apparently the story continues that Hibzalman Meres had a daughter, and this daughter got shortly later, she got engaged, and she got married, and Hibzalman Meres' grandson was none other than the Heilige Chacham Tzvi himself, the Gadol HaDor Chacham Tzvi. And of course, was known in the Gewaltige Schuss that he had such a Gewaltige Yichas, because Chacham Tzvi himself was the father of the Heilige Yaivetz, and V'cholu, it's mamash one of the great dynasties of Torah and in Klal Yisrael. So with that, so the story, the way I heard it was that in his chos, he thought it was really mevatan, lots of fortune, but really, 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 what he really earned was really a gewaltige olam haba. So this is the story that is shared with him in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, and we will continue with him tomorrow.